Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. All present and accounted for. Barry's here. Nick's here. I'm here. So your day can continue on as it should. And hopefully you will take us along for the ride and take us all the way till 4 and then take the Blitz up until 7. What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Why were you so late?
Me.
Oh, you know, just sitting over there show prepping and look up. I was like, oh, damn, it's 1 o'clock. Like, it's starting right now.
I've been freaked out before, like when I've seen like 12:56, 12:57.
I saw
1 o'clock this time.
I've never looked up and saw 1 o'clock.
Well, I looked up on the document and saw you were adding things.
Yeah,
and Tyler goes, are they here? I go, well, he's somewhere because he's adding things to the doc.
Putting news and notes in and getting ready for the day. And then Nick goes, it's 1 o'clock. I was like, oh, I guess we should mosey in. I was enjoying listening to AD drill holes in the wall. So,
well, the bottom line is one here, all here. As long as we can start the show, then we'll pick it up as we go. Everybody will be fine
at the end of the day. Think.
So what's up? Anything happen over the last 24 hours since we last saw each other?
Not really. Just getting ready to go out of town.
Right.
And, you know, getting by the way, I just have to say, because of our conversation yesterday about the podcast, shout out to everybody that went out and subscribed and rated it. Very much appreciated.
So it
helped. I appreciate everybody's support. So thank you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's always good. Nicholas, anything? I'm sure that at some point we're going to get to the fact that everybody is yakking about the beard and the Big Apple.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. I watched a lot of basketball. I watched the Rockets game, and then I watched the Utah-Denver game. I was kind of interested in that. And that's pretty much what I did. I sat home, completely broke any rules that would help me with the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge. Uh-oh. And had a massive pizza.
Oh.
You ate a whole pizza?
Well, that's not difficult.
Not like a large pizza, but like a whole pizza.
Like a Totino's pizza?
No, like a...
Like a Domino's medium pizza?
BJ's Brewhouse small size pizza. Not the mini, but
how
the small.
How small is the small?
I think it's 9 inches.
They make a 9-inch pizza? I knew you were going a totally different direction there, so...
I told you.
No, not you. I just saw Barry's face.
I know.
I wouldn't expect...
I think it's 9 inches.
I totally wasn't expecting you. Was it a Meat Lover's?
It actually was. But...
Oh, you got a 9-inch Meat Lover's.
No, it wasn't.
Good for you. Just all at once? Just the whole thing? Or
me and the dog, Chiquita. Chiquita had a slice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if maybe you just rolled it up.
So not the entire pizza. I'm not a complete fat ass.
9 inches straight down the gullet. I didn't know if you did that or not.
And okay. I'm the child on this show.
I'm not childish. I'm asking
I'm the
questions.
Child on this show.
I'm asking. All I did was ask you a question about how you enjoyed your
9 inches.
He's not
childish, Nick. He's inquisitive.
Yeah. I was just asking about how you enjoyed your 9-inch Meat Lover's pizza.
It was a good pizza.
In your mouth.
Okay. In your mouth. I like how you added to it. That was good.
You're welcome.
I've never described the inches of a pizza before to somebody. That's what threw me off. Somebody would be like, well, how big was it? I'd be like, it was like a medium. Like, I don't know, like a small hubcap.
Yay big. About,
yeah, it's like
about
a hubcap.
That wide around.
I don't know, like, you know, like cheese wheel.
But that's how it works. It's like the
you
mini.
You measured it?
No, the mini, and then they tell you the size. The mini is a 6-inch.
Oh, okay.
The small is a 9-inch, and I can't remember
so
what the medium and
the
large.
So the white guy pizza.
I was going to say, where's this measurement coming from? The suburbs?
And the small is the black guy pizza, the 9-inch pizza. Got it.
Okay.
You went with the, okay.
I went with a 9-incher. Yes.
It's nothing wrong with
that.
It's
been a while.
Of course, this is how we open our show.
of course it is.
Oh, good times.
When it's been a while, you go big or you go home.
Do you have anything 9 inches or bigger last night?
No, I sure didn't. Okay. I am at least from the
I had a foot long today. Does that count?
Well,
I really did. Foot long. from Subway. It's been a while. So
since I had a footlong. Went bigger, you went home too. There you go. Can't beat any of that.
No.
No, I've been sticking to the weight loss challenge, and it's annoying as hell, but doing my part from the diet perspective.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I told Nick the workout portion's been delayed slightly.
I have not moved a muscle. It's all diet.
Oh,
right
I
now.
Did, and I'm in pain.
What happened?
So, you know, I told you Lisa goes to bed early, and Taylor goes to bed when Lisa does.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in the bedroom with the door shut, and I'm in the family room is right outside our master bedroom, and I'm watching the game. And, I mean, Lisa lets out a scream and a jolt, like, just blood-curdlingly, holy, what's going on? And I just fly off the couch and race to the bedroom door, and I had socks on. And I'm going as fast as I can as I'm coming up to the bedroom door.
If this is a roach or something.
No, it caught. So, and the sock, my front foot hit the wood floor and slipped out.
Uh-huh.
My fingers jammed right into the doorknob in the door.
Oh.
And then my knee just swung out underneath me. And I actually ended up catching the doorknob enough to keep myself upright. Got in the room. Found out, one, it wasn't Taylor. She was good. Lisa was good.
Okay.
It was two of the dogs getting into it.
Oh.
And so I'm like, everybody okay? Everybody okay? I'm handling the dogs. And I go to turn, and my knee is like sending me a FedEx to my brain with a lightning rod that says, oh, this knee isn't going to function here. And uh-oh. I just kind of buckled, and I went, what the? And I told Nick, I don't know if it's meniscus or what. But, like, when I started putting pressure on it, I'm like, oh, Lord, this... I mean, I would say people tell me I should quit playing basketball at a certain time, that I always assumed if I was going to do something to one of my knees, was going to be hooping. It wasn't going to be running through my living room to see if my family was okay.
So what's worse?
I was just going to ask. I think yours is still worse. You reaching for a cup on your car? I mean, that's kind of... At least he was worried about something. What were you worried about?
Nobody asked you.
I saw the look you were giving him. I was wondering how long you were.
You injuring yourself reaching for a cup, I think, is worse than him.
Opening a door is what he did.
Well, you can simplify it. I was actually moving at a pretty high rate of speed to open the door.
Well, you should have seen me getting after that cup. I was moving too.
Aggressively?
Yes.
You aggressively reached for that
like
cup?
Like a very abrupt, get the cup, give me the cup.
Your reflexes were like the $6 million man.
I'm not going to lie, though. Like, today I got here and I had to get some stuff out of the car, so I had my drinks. And I went to put them, and I was like, it's easy, easy. Don't rush it. I had to put them on. It took me like a full 15 seconds to set them on the roof of the car because I got to be careful.
That's so funny.
It's weird. Like, I'm nervous now. Gun shy. So, are you going to have to put a brace on it? Are you going to go to the doctor? What's up?
No, I mean, I iced it and everything yesterday, and I was going to try it. And Lisa goes, just give it a day. I mean, you haven't even done it in over 24 hours. But just give it a day to kind of... And so it feels better. So I think tonight when I get home, I may try and get on the treadmill. And, I think running straight forward, I should be okay.
Well, you don't want to stay still, right?
Well, you don't want to go out and exacerbate the injury.
Well, he doesn't have to go, you know.
You don't want to make it worse. 100%. But you also, like, if you ice it and then you get the blood flowing in, and it can help.
No.
First of all, what my wife knows is that nothing's going to stop me from hooping on Saturday. So between now, I will be playing basketball Saturday morning.
There you go.
Yeah.
But playing hurt. I like it. Injured.
But, yeah, the whole trying to eliminate carbs and nothing but healthy foods and, woo, boy, I tell you what, you get those urges every, like Nick said, you know, it could be when you're watching, when I'm watching a game or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, man, some pretzels and chips and whatever, popcorn would be great right about now.
That's
and then
exactly
I'm like,
what happened to me last night.
Oh.
I went on DoorDash and I was just, you know what, I'm just want to be a fat ass.
Really?
Yeah. The order didn't come till like 11:40 at night too.
Oh no!
Really?
Yeah.
Came that late?
It took them like an hour.
They do it that late though. They deliver.
It was
late?
Bad. I think the DoorDash guy got lost because the pizza was all like
cold.
Yeah, but I didn't complain or anything. I just
so you ordered 9 inches and it took an hour before it.
It was a dry nine came? Inches too.
Oh man!
No,
that's even worse. What is this show?
That was one of those nights.
We need to go to break,
yeah,
man. This is getting really bad.
Early break.
Go to break. Are you kidding me? It was just getting good.
Mm-mm. This is getting bad. We need to talk sports.
What?
It's a sports station.
Yeah, well, one segment of Harden, and then we'll get back to your 9 inches.
No, that's it. That's enough on the 9 inches. Let's move on from the 9 inches.
Fine. We can move on.
All right. Hey, speaking of moving on, if you want to move into the chances that you're going to get your take exposed here on the show and talk about it, if you want something to get off your chest that you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call. You can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac Manjula with a K, at the producer Nick. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Just getting started on The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio Gal Media Galleria. In the midst of The Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, which is just getting started, I meant to ask you guys, okay, after thinking about this last night, are we going to do periodic weigh-ins?
Between us or
yeah, I mean,
the
just
peoples?
To like, yeah, for like progress reports or, I mean.
I mean, I weigh just about every day.
I see, get on the scale. I don't.
I'm obsessed with it, so.
I can if you want me to, I mean, but, I, you know.
Today would not be the day, Nicholas, if you hammered a pizza last night.
Oh, that would be perfect.
See.
It was $1.66 when I told you 2 days ago. But I had everything. Like, I had my phone keys.
God, I hate you.
My ears, my big-ass ears. Everything was...
Man.
My wallet.
I hate you. 166? That's so good.
166.6. And everybody tells me that that scale in the front is extremely accurate.
Accurate?
Yeah. Accurate?
That's what everybody's saying.
Damn.
We had a lot of people that weighed in thought it wasn't, but...
I was 207.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
I was 207.2. That's not good.
That's probably accurate. Right? Well, that's inaccurate. You're probably 270.2.
Bitch. Yeah. No. Not.
Round ass.
Shut up. I hate you. NASCAR Johnny said, great opening segment. Y'all have me rolling. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, man. That's what we try to do.
And then, I don't know, apparently we have a doctor listening. Joel, it could be a bruised patella tendon. I had the same pain and buckling for a few days after. I fell and landed with all of my weight directly on that part of my knee in the front of the tendon. So, thank you, Dr. Texter.
Mine's kind of on the side, but yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just hope it's nothing serious. That's all I can hope
Me
for.
Me too. I wouldn't wish injury on anyone.
That's no fun.
No.
So, did you watch the game last night?
I did. Watched the majority of it while I did laundry.
Okay.
But I did. And you know what my first thought was?
What?
Once the Rockets start making their shots, they're gonna the West is going to have to watch out.
You think so?
Yeah.
So... That's a good question.
Obviously, they got to get healthy.
Right. I was going to say, because the first things first, do you think when healthy, this team, if they don't do another thing, has enough to at least get back to where they were a year ago in the Western Conference Finals?
I think, one, it's pending any more moves by Daryl Morey. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think, two, yes, they have to be healthy. And three, they got to be able to knock down their shots. And that's the thing you're not seeing right now is when you look at James Harden didn't get his first assist until, like, what, fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah,
And so when you – I mean, and don't get me wrong, Eric Gordon had a huge shot, obviously. I mean, Eric Gordon won the game. Let's be real. Those two plays in a row, the big three-pointer and then the steal, that's ball game. So, I mean, as much as James Harden did, Eric Gordon's not even going to be talked about. But if not for him, I mean, what happens?
I don't know if they can. I feel like they're getting hot at the right time. The big difference I feel like is when they're missing pieces now is that I think James Harden has taken his game to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually better.
That's the big question.
He's a better player. Yes. And last year, and it's kind of, yeah, last year was proof that as good as he was playing last year, he couldn't do it all by himself. Can he sustain it for an entire season and in the playoffs? I don't know if he'll be able to do it again, but we do know that he's a much better player. So is it enough to supplement what they lack when it comes down to injuries and stuff like that? I don't know. It's too early to tell. I think we'll find out in mid-February.
I mean, here's my thing. I look at this roster, and I say, to answer my own question, I do think they have enough to get back to the Western Conference Finals. Watching Golden State play, I don't think they have enough to compete with Golden State.
No, I would agree with that.
And that's 100%. What Daryl has said the franchise's goal is. That's their target. That's what their motivation is. So there's one issue. And two, I think that my biggest thing is, how long can James keep doing this? And you would hope, to Nick, your point, that they don't have to. He doesn't have to do it by himself all year. But it's already taken a little bit longer than I would have expected for Chris Paul. Capella's not going to be back till after the All-Star break.
Right.
And there's a lot more competition in what they're dealing with this year than a year ago, obviously, and they were rolling and they didn't have a lot of obstacles. There's teams that have gotten better. Oklahoma City is up there. Utah's mm-hmm. still coming. Portland is okay. But, you know, you look at all those things and I equate that and I go, you know, I hope they can do at least one more thing. To get them a little better. But I will say this. The other thing, too, is from a Harden perspective, he's got to do it in the playoffs because that's what he's really scrutinized about. But from a regular season perspective, what more can the man do?
Well, think about this, though. I mean, they're going back. I mean, they're winning and losing, right? They're 500 or so over their last five or six, seven, eight games. Imagine if P.J. Tucker starts knocking down the corner three again. He's been way off. Eric Gordon has been hesitant and not shooting well. Austin Rivers went over three last night from three.
Ennis is struggling.
The bench went 2-for-10 from three-point range. Clark, Ennis, and Green. If Gerald Green's shot is falling, if these guys start making some of these shots that he's creating for them or that are being created in the offense, and you get Capella back to run the high screener role, and you get Chris Paul back to give him a break where he doesn't have to bring the ball up every trip down the floor, if they're hanging around in the 4-5 seed right now, I think they actually could get higher. I think they could get 3, maybe 2 if they get hot and go on a run, because I think when they're hot, I mean, we've looked at it. Look, statistically, you feel like defense is always the problem with this team. Last year, they were in the top 6. This year, they've been hovering around 10 or 11 in points per game allowed defensively. It's been the offense that's been a problem for them a lot of time, because right now, it's James Harden or nothing. So.
I really want to see more out of Eric Gordon. PJ Tucker, you're right, man. If he starts hitting that corner three, it's definitely going to help. But when the Rockets depend on his defense so much, and I think if Chris Paul was healthy, you didn't necessarily have to have P.J. Tucker hitting that many three-pointers as long as he sustained what he did on defense. So P.J. Tucker hit, like, going back and really hitting the three, that would be, an addition to what – I think it's important for Eric Gordon to hit his shots.
Yeah.
But I think both, really
that's what
important.
I mean. The support has to be there.
The thing. What if it's not? Because we've said this. Gordon had 2 years where he either won the sixth man or was in the final two for the sixth man of the year. And we know that for whatever reason, if it was Carmelo being added to the squad early on and he had a different role or whatever it is, he's been really off in terms of his three-point shot. He's been really up and down when he does score points and with his shooting. And the guys that Harden was surrounded with this year aren't the supporting cast of years past where you can rely on them to be pretty consistent making certain shots. Because we know Tucker's shot has been in the corner, as you mentioned. So you weigh all those things and you're like, because James got frustrated last night, and to his credit, he still was making passes, but you could tell he only got that first assist when he did. It wasn't his fault. He was still finding guys open. They just weren't knocking down the shot.
Yeah, and I think we always talk about on the show about players regressing to their mean, or coming back down. Sure. Like we talk about Marwin and some of those guys that played out of their mind, and then they came back down to earth a little bit. I also think the same could be true for a guy like Eric Gordon that's struggling from three-point range. He's a career 37% shooter. He's shooting less than 32% right now. I think you'll see that number go up. I think he'll find his stroke. Remember, he's missed some games. This offense hasn't been the same. Like you said, he was probably frustrated about having a lesser role with Carmelo here. Carmelo's officially gone now. He doesn't have to look over his shoulder. He's going to get back to that role. And he's got time between now and the playoffs to kind of get back in sync.
And here's another thing to validate your point even more. The other thing, aside from Carmelo, he was looking over his shoulder the entire year thinking he was going to be traded or could be traded.
Yeah.
That's a really tough situation for a player who thinks he's going to be in a certain city with a certain team and he can relax. You get uptight from the fact that they may trade me at any time now. That Jimmy Butler trade was being held over his head. And now it's just a different set of circumstances. Gordon really flourished when he got open threes because of the double teams from Paul and Harden. Now, if you watch what happened at the end of the Knicks game, if they literally do what teams are said to have been strategizing to do against James and double team him, Gordon's going to get a lot more open shots like he did at the end of the game, because they're going to live with other guys beating them than James Harden. So Gordon should theoretically get more open looks.
And Tucker too in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to give you a little perspective though, on look, the playoffs are a different animal, but if you're a fan of this team, you should be just, I mean, relishing in the fact this is like a once in a who knows how long kind of stretch for Harden. But he's averaging 52 over his last five. Now, from a team perspective, they're only 3-2 in those games. But 52 points a game.
Yeah. He's a much better player. He's a much better offensive player. And so is Clint Capela. And when you add those two parts, when you add that the big jump that Clint Capela has had this year, and the big jump, or semi-big jump, if you don't want to call it a big jump for James Harden, he's certainly gotten better. I think they can supplement what they lack. The only problem is you need Chris Paul to come back to be healthy. You need some of those guys in the supporting cast to do well and be a little bit more consistent. Eric Gordon definitely needs to hit his shots. And I think you got a really scary team. And a team that, you know what, is, you know, say what you want about this team over the past decade, but at least in the past 2 or 3 years, what they've been able to do is prove you wrong. Even though they haven't won anything, there's been times where they've been able to prove you wrong. And I think this is that team. This might be that team. That's why I'm not comfortable saying them making it to the Western Conference Finals just yet. But if Clint Capela comes back and he's okay coming back from that thumb injury and the surgery and everything, I think there's bigger goals than we thought. That's all I'm saying.
And part of that is because they're deeper. If we were having this conversation 2 months ago, even with everybody healthy, and if James Harden was doing this, I would still tell you no, because they don't have anything. But look how deep they are now. They get Capela back. They get Chris Paul back. And now you've got Fareed on the bench. You've got Austin Rivers on the bench.
Yep.
So along with Green, if his shot falls at all, I mean, how, you know, whatever they figure out with
House. They got to get House back into that rotation.
But I mean, this is a deeper, what we talked about in the beginning, I said it was a garbage product. You don't recognize anybody out there. It looks like garbage. After your big three and Eric Gordon, it was just a bunch of guys. It's shaping up to be a lot different now. I really like what I'm seeing from Fareed. He makes some dumb mistakes, but
his energy.
Absolutely. He'll go and get a rebound. He'll fight for a ball. He saved a ball diving out of bounds. Those are things that you got. He's not a great rim protector, but you'll get that back with Capela, which I think is going to help them too. Right now, you know, they don't have a rim protector at all. At all. And when they get him back, that helps.
Well, what would be nice is a lineup, Nick, with your boy, when Capela comes back. At certain times when we used to talk about, and I used to talk about that death unit where you could bring him in for defense. Right. Put Capela at the five and put Fareed at the four.
Yep.
And talk about being able to protect the rim and get a rebound.
Yep.
And then get out and run and put the offense turning to defense on their heels in transition. That could be big, because you're right. We were talking about the fact that they went from one of the two best benches in the league a year ago with the team coming in Friday night, Toronto, to being one of the worst benches in the whole league. And now at least they're going to have a few guys coming off the bench that D'Antoni can trust, because that's such a big deal for him to trust them, because you know he won't play them if he doesn't.
You've got two guards that you can rotate in for your starters now. Austin Rivers can spell Chris Paul.
Yep.
Eric Gordon can spell James Harden. So you got guys that can shoot. You got guys that can handle the ball. You've got Fareed who can spell P.J. Tucker. So you got a guy that can come in and give you some energy, play some defense, get you some rebounds. You still got to figure out if Nene is going to be able to back up Clint Capela or not. But look,
Fareed
if that's
takes,
their biggest
Fareed
problem.
Takes heat off of that.
Yeah,
too.
If that's their biggest problem, then they're okay. Because Capella's really never had a legitimate backup in the last 2 years because Nene's been hurt so much.
Here's what really bothers me. This five-game span averaging 52 points, he hasn't gotten an assist from one of his teammates. Not one basket.
Wow.
Not one time. That means you've got to have more help around you.
You know what this is? Well, I know we got to go to break. Yeah. I'll tell you. This reminds me of watching another superstar in this league.
And we might on the same page.
Team,
I said this the other day.
And it's very familiar. And his name comes up a lot when talking about James Harden, but we'll do that on the other side.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on, get a little bit more Rockets out of the way. And if you guys want to join the discussion, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Half hour in, 3 hour show. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. We were talking the Rockets before the break and early on as we discussed not only James Harden and his greatness, but overall where this team is and where it could be as we go forward. Barry, you and I each have someone in mind that we were comparing this season to.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the same.
I think it might be, because I made this mention, I think, to Nick a couple days ago, but I'm more and more, it's becoming clearer to me, mm-hmm. but go ahead.
Kobe.
Uh-uh.
See, to me, it's Kobe. If you recall, Kobe had the bad rap of not passing the ball, right? Now, I understand James Harden is a great assist man, and he'll get his teammates involved. But there was a point where Kobe was like, you know what? I got to get mine. No one else was scoring on this team. This was back when Kobe was close to retirement and the teams were bad, and it was Kobe and a bunch of dudes. And Kobe was just looking to get his shot and put up 60 a night. This is what it's reminding me of, because everybody's hesitant right now. Nobody's scoring. Nobody else is getting involved. And all you're seeing is James comes up with the ball, and everybody just watches him. And is he going to step back three or go to the hole?
That's what I heard.
That's
on
literally
the,
what the offense is.
On the broadcast, I wish I remember the guy on the ESPN broadcast who was calling the game between the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets, but he was criticizing James Harden for that very reason, the unassisted points that he was getting and stuff like that.
That's what I mentioned last segment. That's just ridiculous, though, that you can score 300 and some points in five games and not get one assist from a teammate.
Yeah, I think that's what he was talking about. I mean, but look, at the same time, sometimes players have to step up, and you're right about – I kind of would have brought up Kobe Bryant as well, mm-hmm. but I remember Phil Jackson saying, hey, man, you need to step up. Like, that game that he had 81 points, like, you could just see the other players. They weren't going to get the ball.
People were guilty of that with Jordan, too, though.
Sure.
They would just sit back and watch. Same thing with the Rockets with Olajuwon.
I've said it.
They would sit back and watch.
I've said it a lot in the past. The worst thing you can do if you want teammates to get involved is have a guy that goes off the way that one individual can, because the other four end up standing around. And then at some point during crunch time, when you need one of those extra guys to step up, like thankfully they got from Gordon last night, a lot of guys are just standing and watching, and they're not in the right spot to do the right thing. I differ from you two guys, though. I'm going to make the comparison to another superstar with a very similar set of circumstances, and that's Allen Iverson. Because when Iverson was with the Sixers, he had no help at all, and in 1 year took that team to the finals. He had Dikembe Mutombo, which we all know, for all he could do defensively, was offensively challenged.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Aaron McKee. I mean, I could sit there and name the roster to you and go, that was one guy that just had it going
That's
so
a good,
good.
One. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Westbrook prior to Paul George.
Well, but
that's what I thought he was going
to
say.
Well, you mean prior to Paul George and after Kevin Durant.
Yeah. In that little space where he led the league in triple-doubles and averaged a triple-double that first time before they got George.
Iverson played hurt and put that team on his back. Yeah. No question.
So here's the other thing. When you mentioned because this is something that, Nick, you've said, which is very true. I think James has finally matured. He's a different kind of player, and he doesn't worry about what everybody's saying about him as much.
Correct.
But he's kind of taking the responsibility on a little bit more to shoulder the load and to be more of it, whether he wants to be a leader or not, but be one of the guys on the forefront for this team. And obviously on the court, he's leading. And the other guy that I think doesn't get enough credit for doing the same thing is Westbrook. Both guys always had a crutch, always had another guy you could lean on or blame or ride with. And these guys have taken it to a different level because there was so much light shined on them as a star before they actually matured as a human being. But you can see both these guys, they're accepting adversity, and they are running right through it. That, to me, is a sign of someone that's getting better.
I mean, fair point. I mean, I don't know if Paul George would re-sign had he played with the Russell Westbrook of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when he was playing with Kevin Durant. So, yeah, I would make the same argument that Russell Westbrook has definitely matured. They both have. Westbrook and Harden have. I think they've made strides in that department.
Real quick, in regards to the game, it was a point I wanted to make last segment. Yeah. That out-of-bounds play was so weird. And for the record, everyone in it, I haven't heard it mentioned yet, but no one bothered to point out the fact that P.J. Tucker was out-of-bounds with his hand on the ball.
No, D'Antoni did.
Oh, he did?
D'Antoni was the only one, because I was looking for an answer this morning.
Because I was like, that play should have been out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kept trying to figure out, what was he doing?
I don't know either.
So D'Antoni said after the game, you know, with his draw a little bit, but he was like, you know, PJ's got a lot of things on his mind, and, you know, there was 300 things going through his mind, but was he out of bounds? He started out of bounds. Was he in bounds? He didn't know if he was still standing on the line, so he didn't want to touch. I just know it was a mistake, and we got to get better about those situations. But that was the first logical...
No, that's not him admitting that. I've stopped it. I paused it. There's a point where PJ Tucker has a foot out of bounds and his hand on the ball.
See, I didn't see that.
And they should have.
I didn't either.
And this was with what, a minute and a half left or whatever?
Oh, no, less than that.
Yeah. So it should have been hey, take a look at it. That should have been ball out. That should not have been an easy layup like that.
I didn't see him make contact, but I did see him dancing around the ball.
He at one point he tried to swipe it away, and his foot was out of bounds, and he's got his hand on the ball.
I'd have to look at it, but if one of the suspects have a clip on Twitter, tweeted at us at Barry's Funny at Pac-Man Joel.
All right, before we move on, Manny wants to talk a little bit about James Harden. Manny, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, this isn't a knock on Harden, so don't take it that way. But I think the reason why he's scoring all these points unassisted is because, A, the only guy who's capable of throwing a good, clean, back cut bounce pass is Chris Paul, and he's not on the floor. And then you throw in the fact that James, he's just never really moved well without the ball. He's never really been a guy to work himself open like a Reggie Miller or Ray Allen. You know, he's obviously ball dominant. He needs the ball in his hands to find the rhythm off the dribble. And he's never, ever been a guy. Plus, I mean, everyone else on the floor, I mean, who are you? Obviously, if they're going to overplay James on the three-point line, the back cut's open. And it's been open over the last several games. And he's actually beaten his guy. It's just unfortunate that Gerald Green has the ball or P.J. Tucker or, you know, pretty much anyone else on the floor has the ball, not capable of anticipating that and then throwing that pass as he back cuts to get James open, looks at the rim. And, I mean, I think it's a little bit overblown if you just take a step back and you look at the fact that Harden's just never been a guy that has ever played off the ball and has been able to work himself open. I mean, it's not a knock. It's just how it is. And so, to me, I totally understand how he's scoring all these points without anybody giving him assists.
Here's what I'll tell you. If it doesn't continue, and we appreciate the call, but here's what I'll tell you. If this doesn't continue next year, like if next year comes around and there's still not an injury plague and he doesn't do it again, I think there might be some juice to your argument. But I think there's still no question, and I don't think you can deny the fact that he's a better player this year than he was last year.
No doubt, but here's the thing that Manny didn't clarify, right? Which is, don't tell me that he can't create his own when what he's saying is he doesn't move well without the ball, because he creates his own. That's the reason why we've got a statistic like he hasn't had an assist from a teammate, because he's created his own every time.
Yeah.
But he's saying like moving without the ball and to create.
That's not his game.
This point, and right now it definitely isn't, because Chris Paul's out.
That's not this offense either. I mean, don't remember, this offense is two things. It's corner threes, pick and rolls. And when James is on the floor with the ball in his hand, it's either him driving or step back threes. But this isn't a dynamic moving offense. You got two guys in each corner. You may have a little bit of movement up top, but usually you've got your five or a big coming up to set the pick. That's four guys in the offense. If you've got two guys in the corner, Harden on the ball and Capella coming up to set a pick, you got one guy that's supposed to be moving. I mean, this is not a motion offense, so to speak.
And he's talking about backdoor cuts, but let's be real.
It's a pick and roll
James
and a corner three.
James is
going to
be double teamed wherever he is, and defenses are focusing and making him the focal point whether he has the ball or not. Backdoor cuts, you're going to have help in the middle. You're going to have guys collapsing because they know it's Harden. It's not Gerald Green, even though they got a backdoor dunk for Green last night. But backdoor cuts for James Harden, that's just not going to happen.
Those don't happen because those are corner threes.
And because, like you said, he's got the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
I feel like from a national perspective, it's a bit of a reach to criticize Harden in that department, because if you are a self-creator, but you do that well in assists, I can't believe now they're going to, all these unassisted points. Like, well, what else do you want? So he self-creates and he creates for others. And now you're really reaching at this point. That's how I feel. Now, I might be a homer, you know, just a Rockets fan, sounding like a Rockets fan right now. But I just think it's a reach when you say, oh, look at all these unassisted points. He creates and he creates for others. Like, he creates for himself and he creates for others. Like, what else do you want him to do at this point?
Yeah.
No Chris Paul, no Clint Capella. What else do you want him to do right now?
Tie for third in the league in assists per game.
Like, what else do you want
huge.
Him to do?
But here's the thing. It is huge, but here's the thing. And you kind of... It's half empty, half full, I think. Because on the one hand, he's dishing out eight and a half assists a game and putting up 50. But on the other hand, it's basically like, this ball is mine, and you'll get it if I want you to have it.
Sure.
And so, but that's,
well,
that's,
and
what
if you
this
start
te-
passing
that's what this
in the first
is.
Half and they're not making shots, chances are you're not going to get it as
but
much.
But here's the thing. Oh, think of all the names that we've used to compare him and his scoring. And you could throw out a few other names we haven't, but... If you've got Jordan and Iverson and Kobe and LeBron, the offense runs through them. Mm-hmm. You're dumb if it doesn't. So the fact that it's James Harden and a bunch of role players right now, don't blame him.
That ball should go through him. He should be the one that decides what happens on offense every trip down the floor.
I mean, and
just
again,
makes sense.
We can't bang on the guy too much because without him, you're not anywhere near the top four and sitting in a playoff position. When you think about it, since 1963, he's got 50 points in three games this month. No one's done that since 63. Yeah. He is shouldering every bit of the load, so it's hard to bang on him too much.
Would they be blaming LeBron if LeBron had if the ball touched LeBron's hands every time and he decided?
Not at all.
No, of course not. Of course not.
He still gets that pass for sure.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
Now, they blamed Kobe.
Well, Jordan would too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there you have it. I mean, look, you should be reveling in what you have and thankful you got him because you can scrutinize him all you want, but without him, you're a lottery team right now. So, the Rockets got a win last night. They're hosting Toronto tomorrow night at the Toyota Center. We'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Getting lots of texts and some tweets. We'll get you those involved in the show next segment as well. HR and P listener line is open. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, Hour 1, 3-hour show. Nick, Barry, and me in kicking around some Rockets. Got lots of other stuff to get to. I'm interested tomorrow night, by the way, to close the book on that. I am interested to see Kawhi Leonard's supposed to play.
Okay.
So I would think Toronto is just going to take, they're not going to double. They're going to take their chances on Kawhi going.
Has he had enough rest?
Yeah, what was it? Five straight games? Four or five in a row? Yeah, it's crazy.
That's weird.
And the other thing, to Nick's point that I was going to say, but the one thing you can show about the maturity level of Russell Westbrook is, think about how he completely just shat all over Victor. Oop, Victor.
Don't think you can say that.
Can I say that?
No. Nick, you need to. There you go.
Okay. Nope. I thought it's. I didn't say the actual word.
Nope, that's the past tense of it.
No. He crapped all over.
There you go.
Nick, think about your point. And think about the fact that when Westbrook crapped all over Victor Oladipo to where he was like a back of the rotation type in terms of value to the Thunder, and the minute they got rid of him and he got out from under that Westbrook, he just flourished like crazy.
Oladipo, yeah.
Yeah, and but then he learned his lesson because when he got PG-13, he's like, well, I got to not only make sure this guy helps me, but it helps me if he stays. And he became a different player, and they came to a different level as a team.
Yeah, and I think because Paul George was proven, I think it was easier for him to kind of mature and make that transition as opposed to Oladipo, who wasn't quite proven yet, even though he probably, you know, some people did believe in him and being a star at some point in this league, he still wasn't quite proven yet. Whether that's what Russell Westbrook's fault or the fact that he didn't get enough minutes, whatever the case may be, he wasn't as proven yet, but we knew that Paul George was proven. He just had a situation in Indiana that just wasn't working out, so I think that helped him a little bit.
Speaking of Oladipo, sucks for the Pacers.
That's where I was going
right now. Yeah. That injury now, looks like he's going to be out for the year. So
it's a ruptured patella tendon, I believe.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because they were sitting in third and looking good.
No contact injury. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to a guy that really had flourished into one of the best players in this league, and his team was playing at a top level. So if you didn't see it, I'm not sure, because I know you have a hard time with that sometimes. If you didn't see the replay, you probably don't want to.
Nope, I did not want to see it. Only player to score more points in Madison Square Garden is Rockets legend Carmelo Anthony. So there's that.
62, but he was a member of the Knicks, yeah.
This is Bo. The Rockets need to figure out a way to get House back, not for his offense, but for his defense. He's too good to be wasting in the G League.
They just need him back, period.
Joe here, huge fan of the number one show in Houston. Barry, should I fertilize the grass this week while it's cold? Let's go lawn talk. No, wait. See how I just...
I appreciate you going through quickly that time.
I just tuned into 94.1 and I thought Barry was doing a really bad Chris Rock impression. Turns out it's just Stephen A. Smith. So there's that. Beaumont guy that wasn't able to get out there and sign up, but I'm still doing the challenge with you guys. It's weird motivation, but it's keeping me going.
Well, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah, good for you. Keep doing it. Because, look, we're doing it, at Nick, Joel, and myself, and we can't win anything. You should just do it with us, even if you can't win. What's the harm in getting sexy?
I think that's everybody,
that's the only reason I'm doing this, so I look good while I'm banging.
I think other people are also worried about, like, are we in the competition? No, we're not. No. We're not in this for the prizes. We're in this for the camaraderie so that you guys get some extra motivation to keep doing what you're doing.
I would dominate. I'd be down to, like, 110 pounds. I'd look like olive oil. You guys don't want that. How tall are you, Barry?
Or the cover of National Geographic.
Yeah. How tall are you, Barry and Nick? I'm just asking because I'm doing the weight loss thing, too.
5'10".
Yep. I'm 5'10 as well. I'm 5'10", 207. He's 5'10", 166. What does that tell you? 50 pounds almost?
Yeah.
I probably shrunk, so I'll probably just say I'm 6'4".
You're not fat with a PHAT, 40 that's
pounds,
for sure.
40 pounds. Not 50. Not yet. That'd be 217. 207, 167, 40 pounds. So I'm 40 pounds heavier than you.
Barry doesn't feel good about himself
right
now.
It's all penis. It's all penis.
No, it's not.
Okay. Did y'all hear OU Mike call the morning show blaming Barry for banning him?
What?
I did not hear this, but apparently our crackhead, I guess it's just a crack staff, not crackhead, crack staff intern Radu. I asked him because I saw this ahead of time and I wanted to hear the audio. Now, I will say, I have not heard it yet. I don't know what we're about to hear. I don't know how this is going to go, but I do know that I've had somebody reach out to me on Twitter and now a couple of texts that said, oh, you might call the morning show whining about me banning him. So let's hear how this went.
Hey, OU Mike wants to throw some shade. What up, OU Mike?
Oh, shade.
Yeah, I want to throw some shade at Barry Laminack for not taking my calls. Every time I call the Hebrew Israelites or R. Kelly's house, I know he's there. I hear him talking, but they're like, oh, he's not here right now. Reminds me of an old Dave Chappelle song where it says, drip, drip, drip.
I'm throw some, make some shade.
That's some Usual Suspects. OU Mike, people, I have no idea.
Yeah. We don't know what you're,
I missed that episode.
Yeah.
That made no sense whatsoever. And you wonder why you can't call this show anymore.
But I did notice that he...
That was terrible.
Once again,
they didn't enjoy the call.
He pushed the races. He pushed the races.
It was a waste of a play.
Yeah, why would we want the dumbass calls like that on this show? Go bring down their show. Go bring down Charlie's show like you do every day.
Yeah, it's not Barry's fault, sir.
Yeah,
it's more than one person's decision.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't make those decisions by myself. Although I would walk out if y'all took his call. But
I took his call on when I filled in, but it's whatever. I just
And great point. I mean, he has to immediately go to black Israelites and dude. And you wonder why. Just keep calling the other shows. You're doing great, bud. Live your best life. Much respect, Barry. I swore that you are the Knicks coach. You look just like him. Okay. I told my wife last night. I was like, babe, pause. You see this guy? Yeah. Everyone says I look like him. I mean, you know what? Go to bed.
She agreed?
She just said, I mean, like, no.
Because she knew it would probably aggravate you, huh?
Exactly. It has nothing to do with me looking like Fizdale. I don't think I do, but
you guys both have short hair and glasses.
He doesn't have hair. That's the thing that gets me is...
He has some, doesn't he?
No, he's bald. People will find a white guy with glasses and be like, oh, this is Barry. Yes, every white guy with glasses and short hair is me. Or every bald guy with glasses is me.
He is bald.
Yeah. I know. I paused it last night. What do you think? I wouldn't pay attention?
Evidently, you were pretty fired up about it.
No, I'm just like, if you say I look like MC Search, fine. I get that. If you say I look like the dude from The Hangover, Ed Helms, I get that. You want to say I look like Aaron Hernandez without my glasses on? Okay. I get that too. One time somebody told me I look like Ernest Goes to Camp. All right, fine.
I got him with some hair.
Yeah, but I don't have a mustache or a goatee. And,
well, his look changes a lot.
And he's black, and I'm not black.
Wait, what?
How is this? This is not the same, people. Stop trying so hard to make me look like somebody I don't. God, I hate y'all.
You have a familiar face, man.
No, I don't.
There's nothing we can do about
it. Hey, you know, I have a ugly, stupid face.
He might be able to send you some of those new fancy glasses, though, that have that's the new style, the extra thick rim.
Yeah, I want to get a pair.
Yeah, he looks like he's got a hidden camera in them.
And they're kind of big.
Like he's undercover. I don't know.
Let's not get into tickets. All right, we got 1 hour in the books. We got 2 hours still to go of the big show. Plenty more to get to. And that includes you. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HR and P listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. Hour number 2 is around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.